Niedermeyer was at the Mayo Clinic, but he was visiting the Children's Hospital in Denver, and he asked to be able to go in and work with Dr. Swan. And they repaired my heart. They had asked my mother if she wanted to have it replaced with a pig's valve or use the original if it's able to. She said, use the original. And I said, okay. There was about 12 or 13 other kids that had the same operation about the same time. And what happened was, unfortunately, some of them had the pig's heart, or the pig's valve, put in. And unfortunately, they died before they were even 13. Some of the others, my mother kind of kept track. She was an LPN. And so she kept track of them and found out that they didn't live very long. The doctors even said, he'll be lucky if he lives to be 25. Well, I don't think I'm dead. That was the first. The next was God bringing Glenda into my life, the power and strength. We were both involved in a cult at the time, but the Lord brought us out.
Amen.
We were attending a Baptist church, but
amen.
You know, it doesn't matter where you are. God is there.
Amen.
At age 30, 3 days after my 30th birthday, I had a heart attack. My biorhythm, or whatever they call it, was like all over the place. That was on, I believe it was a Monday. But anyway, on Wednesday at noon, it went back to solid, you know, normal line. And the doctor came in, and he goes, because they had me in the ICU, which Navy Hospital means anywhere they can put you.
Yeah.
And anyway, he came in, and he goes, I don't understand. He said, and they took my blood and everything, because there's supposed to be an enzyme that breaks off from the heart when you get up, when you do have a heart attack. And it wasn't there. It was not there.
Amen.
It was like my heart was brand new. There have been so many times that we've been in need that God has answered prayer. We were living in San Diego, and I was out at sea. Glenda and the boys were living in an apartment out in El Cajon, which is a suburb of San Diego. And she was making oatmeal, and she went to the cupboard to find the brown sugar so the kids could use it. No brown sugar. So she said, Lord, I don't know where it's coming from, but we need the brown sugar. There was a knock on the door. The manager and his wife were just, you know, about 10 houses or 10 apartments away from us. And it was him. He said, we had an accident at the store last night. He was a manager for some store, Albertson's, mm-hmm. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But he said the accident involved that they had all this brown
keep
sugar
mic,
that broke loose.
Keep the mic up here, they can't hear
you. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
he said the brown sugar packages or something, when they opened the box, it was just like, you know, there was brown sugar. There was no packaging. It was like weird. So he said, do you guys need some brown sugar?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
So, I mean, miracles happen day
amen.
By day.
Amen, amen.
I've had miracles just recently.
Amen.
You might have heard that I had cellulitis for the third time.
Yeah.
This time it was in my hand. The reason I'm wearing this thing is because it covers the open wound that's there. And Linda took me to the hospital. They checked me in. Doctor comes in. He says, okay. Well, we've done the blood test and everything. He says, yeah, you got cellulitis.
Mic to your mouth.
You do have cellulitis. I was starting to look like Popeye on this arm. I mean, it was swollen out to about yay far.
I wish I had muscles that good.
Yeah.
But within 3 days of the guy, must have been about 6 or 8 different IVs that they put into me with antibiotics. And it's now gone. I mean, most 99% of it. I had a spot on this hand that, you know, started flaking and all that. I never had that with cellulitis in my leg. So I was kind of worried about it, but looked it up, and it's okay. It happens. Just keep it clean.
Amen.
So I'm here today because of God's miracles. Not miracle. Miracles.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, God is good, isn't He? He's good, He's good, He's good, He's good, He's good. Well, as happens with me frequently, I have these notes here. We'll just throw those out because God's going in a different direction. But the title still appears, or is appropriate. And the title is, Do You Hear? You don't hear. This is on. Yeah. Thank you. This is on, but is it working now? Can you hear me now? Can't hear me well enough. All right. We'll fix it. You can hear me now, right? God is good. So listen. It's so important that we listen to the Spirit of God. Come on. When? All the time. No, just when we get in crisis, just when we need Him. God, where are you? Oftentimes, God has already spoken. And I don't know about you, but I've the older I get, hopefully the wiser I get. It's not always the case, but you know, the wiser I get. And I figured, and I started gauging how people were listening. And when they quit listening, I quit talking. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But it's like, why should I waste my breath, my time, or anything if they're not going to listen? And I'll just, an example is marriage counseling. And when I had couples come in, and I first started, I'd just beat my head against the wall. But then I'd start giving them assignments to do. You go out this week and here's what you do, and you come back. And then if they came back and said, well, you know, we just really didn't have time or something came up, I said, well, that's fine, but this session is over until you go home and do, because I'm not going to waste my time, you know. And the reality is God quits speaking when we quit listening. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But I want to tell you something, and this is where the Lord has shifted it to me. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said something to His disciples. Now I've got to ask you a question. Are you just a believer or a disciple? Jesus said the disciples are the one who continue in His Word. Believers can believe in His Word, but disciples continue in His Word. In other words, they continue to do and act on what God has said. Right? So there's a difference between a believer and a disciple. I want to be a disciple, right? Come on, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? When I get to heaven, that's what I want to hear. Verse 16 says, and then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Isn't that, that's so cool. We read over things, but look at that again. This just came to me. The 11 disciples went away to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had appointed for them. Jesus has a meeting place that's appointed for you. Come on. Where is it? I don't know where yours is. I think I know where mine is. It's wherever you take the time and the effort to meet with Him. Right? Come on. Now watch this. This is so good. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. The dude was risen from the dead. Right? Come on. So crazy. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He said to you and to me, the moment that we got born again, to go. Go where? To go into the world. To go where God has placed you, but go into the world and tell them about me. Come on. Go into all the world and make disciples. This is so good. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all things. You are a child of God, but you're also an ambassador for the kingdom. And God is concerned with the lost. Did you hear me? God's main concern is the lost. His main concern isn't whether you're healed or not. Because Jesus said, what good is it if you go to heaven with all your, or you don't get to heaven, but you have all your limbs? Wouldn't it be better for you to lose one of your limbs to make it to heaven? I'm not saying He wants to cut your arm off, but what I am saying is, that what happens to our bodies down here isn't as important to what's happening to our spirit and our souls. Right? And that's not just us. Come on. When's the last time that we really wept for the lost? When's the last time that we really looked at people who don't know Jesus and said, man, if something doesn't change in their life, they're going to spend eternity in hell? Because there really is a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shun. Hell's a real place. And it says that those who don't believe on Him, that's their destination. Because the only reason that they can't go to heaven is they don't have a Savior. They don't have one who has taken their sin and taken their place. And so God is saying to you and to me, are we taking up the Great Commission? Right? He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world that all men might be saved. And it's to all who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. It's about believing. Go to Mark chapter 16. How many love Holy Ghost meetings where the Spirit of God just moves and you know, we've seen awesome things happen. I've seen people healed. I've seen people delivered. But where's our hunger for that? And what is the reason for all of that? All of the reason for that, somebody said it this way, all the miracles and the healings and even the deliverances and God working in His mighty power is for the dinner bell to bring people to the realization that God is present and that He has a need for them and wants them and desires for them to come to know Him. Verse 15 of chapter 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what's the gospel? The gospel is good news. Right? The gospel is that you're going to hell. But it is, you are on your way to hell, but I've got good news for you. You don't have to go there. The good news is that your sin and any sin, any one little itty-bitty sin, even that little white lie you told, is enough to disqualify you from being in the presence of God, because sin cannot be in the presence of God because He's holy. And His holy is consuming His... He's called light, and light, listen, light obliterates darkness. He said, but here's the good news. Jesus took your sins, and all you have to do is believe and make Him the Lord of your life. Come on. That's the good news. So He said, for us, for you and for me. Come on. Not the preacher. Not the evangelist. Not the apostle. Not the, come on, the prophet. But for all of us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Look, I'm not saying that we have to be necessarily trying to jam the gospel down everybody's throat. But I am saying that some of us have backed off because we want to be, in terms of today, politically correct and make sure that people like us. And haven't presented the gospel to them whether they like it or not. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach means to proclaim. Just tell the story. Tell the story. Now watch this. Now I'm just going to give you my testimony of my dad. I tried to witness to my dad. We actually both worked at the shipyard at the same time, and we drove in together back and forth. And there were a few times, my sister was there at the time too, and when it was just Dad and I, there was a couple of times where I tried to witness to him. And he said this to me. He said, Bruce, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and I don't want to talk about it. That's pretty much a closed door. Wouldn't you say that was your dad telling you that? But my dad had cancer. And he was dying. And a week before he actually passed away, he was in the hospital. And after work, I went up to visit him. And I said, Dad, I don't want to offend you and I don't want to make you mad. But I have to tell you. So give me 5 minutes. And I explained salvation to him. Now, I grew up Catholic. He is Catholic. He knew about Jesus. So, and he didn't say the sinner's prayer for me, but here's what I know, that I know that I know that he called upon the name of Jesus. Right? My job, watch this, my job is not to get the fish in the boat. My job is to put the line in the water with the bait. Right? But if I'm sitting at home on my couch hoping for the fish to come into the living room, right? It's not going to happen. So listen, your world and my world are intersected here this morning, but we go out from here and we affect a lot of people. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Do you believe that? I mean, is that real? So all of those people that were too embarrassed to talk and tell the good news, what we're really saying is, you're not worth it to me. Is that true or not? I'm preaching to me as well as you, right? This is all the Holy Ghost. I didn't plan this or prepare this, right? But the reality is that's the truth. That's the truth. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've not received His grace, then the Bible says you're condemned, and you're condemned already because the sin of your father going all the way back to Adam has disqualified you from the presence of God. It's just the truth. But the great news is that Jesus hung on the cross and He took my condemnation, or the penalty of the sin that was upon me and the sin of my forefathers, and nailed it to the cross, where I no longer have to stay under the shame of my past. I can now live in the present reality of that I am a child of God. But people, listen, those people that you love, those people that you know, they may be great people, they may even be better people than Christians are. Sad to say, but I know some sinners out there that have a lot more integrity than some of the people that I've known in the body of Christ. But none of that matters. It doesn't matter how good you are, because anybody's goodness does not measure up to His goodness. And the standard is not your goodness or my goodness. The standard is His goodness. Come on. Come on. It's all about Jesus. But it's up to us to begin to allow the Spirit of God to use us. Now watch this. It says, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." That's us, but why? Why are those things in there? Why are those things necessary? Because God wants to show Himself strong on His behalf and upon the people who we're witnessing to. Come on. Go to Acts chapter 4. This is the place where the disciples were told by the elders, the apostles were told by the elders, "Listen, we're going to let you go, but don't preach in that name anymore." Right? And they turned to him, and the apostles pretty much said, "You know, we don't want to be disrespectful to you, but here's the reality. We're going to obey God rather than you. Come on, we're just going to obey God. You may not like it, but we're going to obey God." It's time for the church to get that attitude, because if we don't, the world is going to come in and say, "Don't do that. Don't do that. You can't do that. You can't say that. You can't proclaim that. Don't read out of this, because this is now a hate book." Come on. I'm sorry. I love you. I appreciate you. I respect you. But I'm going to obey God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at 29, chapter 4, verse 29. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." The threats were real. They had the power. Look at, these are the same men that put Jesus on the cross. These are the same men that absolutely had the power to put people to death and to separate them from their whole community. These men had the power. And he said, Lord, look at their threats. Behold their threats. But in spite of their threats, grant your servants boldness. It's time for you and me to begin to ask God for boldness to proclaim the gospel. Years ago, I'd just gotten saved, and I got saved with a group of people that were Jesus freaks. Do you know what I mean? They were just Jesus freaks. It was praise the Lord this and thank you Jesus that, and God told me this and God told me that, and everywhere they went. Do you know Jesus? Right? And they did crazy things. Like, you know, before I got saved, I'd party on Friday night. But after I got saved, we'd go witnessing on Friday night. And we didn't go to the safe places. We went to bars. In fact, I'll tell you this story as a side note. I'll get back to where I was. I was in Tulsa. And in Tulsa, we went to a coffee house there and witnessed on the street on some Friday nights. And so I was working at a particular place, and Rodney, he was a fellow that worked with me, he said, what'd you do this weekend? I said, well, you know, we went down to such and such a place, and we went out on the street. He said, you went where? I said, we went down to such and such. He said, you went where? Because this guy's a worldly guy in the world and knew Tulsa very well. He said, listen, Bruce, he said, listen, if you ever do that again, you let me know. Because I'll come down there, I'll sit in my car with my gun to make sure that you're protected. I said, Rod, I appreciate that, but I don't need your protection because I have angelic protection. Right? Right? And watch this. But the reality is that we need to get back to the place where we become Jesus freaks, because the world needs us to tell the story. It's not outdated. If people get a hold of it, they're going to get saved. Now again, I just got saved. I was around these guys that were just bold as anything. And I'm going, I don't really even like to talk to people. But I began to pray, just as Paul prayed, Father, I pray for boldness, that a door would be open to me, that I could utter your gospel. Lord, I need boldness. I need boldness. I need boldness. So one Friday night, we're out, and we began to speak to this fellow who was, you know, had a few drinks in him. And he was from a Mormon background. And he started to tell us all of these things. And he would go on and just talk. And the other guys were trying to witness. And then from my spirit, I looked into the window of his car, because he was in the car. We were on the outside of the car. I locked in his car and I said, now listen, we've heard you talk for 10 minutes now. I need you to shut up and listen. And I presented the gospel to him. Now, I'm not telling you that there was a glory cloud came and that he got saved right that moment, but he heard. He knows. He's without excuse. And we were able to share with him for like 20 minutes after that. And God showed up. But we've got to become bold and ask God. And I would like to say that every time I've had an opportunity since then, I've just been bold as a lion, but that would be an absolute lie. I've cowered sometimes in the wanting to please people and not, you know. Another time I was with my brother, and he was visiting us, and a long story short, I felt the need to witness to him. But then I was going, but you know, and came up with all the excuses. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, would you rather offend him here or look at him in hell later? And that's the reality that we're working with, right? But listen to what he goes on to say here. Verse 29 again. Now, Lord, look at their threatenings, but grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By the stretching of your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Here's what I know, and I feel this is in my spirit today. Some of us have had God use us supernaturally over the years. We've seen God give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Everything that's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as far as the gifting of the Spirit, the discerning of spirits. God's used some of us to cast out devils. And at times, it's almost like, devil? Where? Devil? I'm going to go cast that baby out. Because the power of God was inside of us. And yet, for years now, God has not used us in that way. But there's a disconnect there, because God said, my gifts and my callings are without repentance. So it's not on the God side. It's not on the God side that we're not being used. It's on our side. And I think it's because, and you know, I don't mean to, well, I do mean to step on toes, because I'm stepping on mine. It's like, it's because we haven't maintained the desperation in our hearts for those that are lost. And it's time for us to get that desperation back. Come on. Why? Because the world needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. The world does not need you to agree with them. The world does not need you to become politically correct and side with what they're saying. Our determination needs to be the Word of God. Our determination needs to hold up this standard and begin to live this standard. And then begin to act like it's true and have an expectation that God will move through us to affect them. And I'll just tell you this story. I have a friend. His name is Chuck. Many know him. I love him to pieces. I've known him since he's 5 years old. We lived right across the street. I saw something on Facebook the other day. It said, you know, name your oldest friend. And it's Chuck. It's Chuck. And I've witnessed to Chuck before, and Chuck's a great guy. I love him. I'm going to have an opportunity to share the gospel with him, because he has cancer right now. And I don't know how much longer he will be with us. Which is no big... I mean, it is a big deal. And Chuck, if you're listening, I want you to be here as long as you can. I believe in the power of God. But the reality is we're all going to leave this planet at some point. Right? We're all going to put off these earth suits. Can't wait. For me, I don't want it to happen a moment too soon. But I can't wait. Why? Because the moment I do, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. But if I don't know, and if he hasn't made Jesus the Lord of his life, he's not going to be. So my heart is heavy and crying out. And we need to be the same way with everybody that we know. Not that we're judging and say, look, you need to be good just like me. Heaven forbid. But do you remember, if you don't, then we'll have an altar call in a minute, but do you remember the moment that you asked Jesus into your heart? Not everybody's experience is the same. Donnie can probably remember, but she's been saved her whole life because she grew up in our house. I grew up Catholic, and I actually tried to become a priest, and they didn't accept me. And so I just went, well, okay, God, if you don't want me, whoo, I'm gone. And then those freaks, those Jesus freaks came by. And they started witnessing to me. And listen, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has put inside of you that He wants to use you with became an operation, and it was the very thing that God used to bring me to Him. Because the story is this. I was sitting on a ledge. First of all, when they'd come in the door, me and a buddy of mine, we'd go out the back door and go up to the bar and have a few beers because we didn't want to hear it. The gospel. We didn't don't want to hear it. All they talk about, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I don't want to hear it. But I say it this way. I was cornered and I was sitting on a fireplace hearth. And they were on the couch. And the man started saying, well, you know, and God said this, and God told me that, and God's doing this. And I'm thinking, what? God speaks to you? That's weird. But I said, God, if there is a God, and you really speak to Him, tell Him this because it's something that's going on in my life. And you know, the next thing out of His mouth, and I'm not exaggerating, the next thing out of His mouth was exactly what was in my mind, talking to God. And I said, isn't that a coincidence? So I had something else up to God, and the next thing out of the man's mouth was exactly what I went up to God with. And I said, God, it's obvious you speak to Him. Is there a possibility that you'd speak to me? I didn't get saved that night. It was a few days later. But I'll never forget the night. As I'm telling you this, I'm back in the living room with the circle that we're holding hands. And the leader of the Bible study said, now, if there's anybody who wants to give their heart to Jesus, step in the middle of the circle. And I felt a hand on my front trying to push me out of the circle and a hand on my back push me into the circle. I gave in to the one on the back. And I stepped into the middle of the circle and I said the sinner's prayer. And then he said to me, the man who led me to the Lord, he said, do you want all God has for you? And I said, oh, yes, I do. I do. And he said, well, my wife's more gifted in this than I am. And so she began to pray for me. There's a lesson right there. Find out your gifting, right? And let somebody who's more gifted do the... Anyway, but he... And so she prayed for me. I knew nothing about nothing, you understand? I knew nothing about salvation. I knew nothing about being filled with the Spirit. I knew nothing about speaking in tongues. I knew nothing. You want all God has for you? Yes. Well, open your mouth and start saying hallelujah. It's hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your tongue is going to get thick and you're going to start talking what seems like baby talk, but just keep talking it out. Okay, hallelujah. At the same time I was born again, within 2 minutes, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I left that house a different man. I knew, right? And man, I want everybody to know that they know that they know. It changed me so much, and it wasn't in a long period of time. But I knew my heart was different. I went home that night, and I lived in a house where the kitchen window was facing east, and the moon was up. It was a clear night in Washington, so that was a miracle. But it was a clear night in Washington, and the moon was coming up, and I was kneeling on the old linoleum floor of the kitchen with the moon in the window. And I spent 45 minutes going, Shandere to Bafabete Kusabre de Mafabaka, Indoroto Befe Barata Mandoroto Koya Kaya Kaya. And at the end, I got quiet and I heard, not an audible voice, but in my spirit, I heard the voice of God. And I've been hearing it ever since. But watch this. I need everyone that I know not to have my experience, but to have an experience with Jesus. Have an experience with Jesus. Some of you used to intercede where God would give you groanings for people, where you just groan and intercede and put people's faces before you. Why? Because He's concerned with those people that He showed you. Some of you have been used in discernment and discerning of spirits and casting out devils. Come on, there are many demons that need to come out of people today. Hello? Heard of a lady that she identifies as a deer. It's funny, but it's not funny. Right? There's demonic oppression that's coming upon people. And the church needs to wake up and go into all the world and preach the gospel with signs and wonders following. But it's up to us to seek God and say, God, forgive me for sitting on my rear and not allowing You to use me in the way that You want to use me. Come on. Y'all getting something this morning? Come on, I want some motivation, Lord God. Forgive us for having meetings where we just come to be blessed. Lord, may we be a church who really is seeking the lost to be saved. Father, help us to not be able to sleep at night when we know that somebody that we know is our assignment and we can't rest until they have an opportunity to meet Jesus. Father, we just ask You today, God, to become in us, God, a light to the world. And I, for one, Lord, ask Your forgiveness. I beg for Your forgiveness, God, for all of those opportunities that I've lost and left. I know that it's not all up to me, God, that You're much bigger than me. But God, I have let opportunities slip for You to use me. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. But today I'm asking You to stir the fire on the inside of us. Stir the fire on the inside of us. Because, Lord, an outpouring of Your Spirit cannot come until we kindle the embers that once burned in us. Lord, let us not walk out of this building the same as we came in, God. I pray for it in Jesus' name. There are evangelists in this room. There are people who have gifts of healings in this room. There are people in this room who have been used by God to intercede, but it's been a while. It's time to get on your face before God and say, God, give me the burden again. Show me the faces again. Help me to cry out again. Father, we just want to be used by You. We heard You. But now we hear You. And God, help us to do what You want us to do. In Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just got to ask you, and this is a little bit different, but how many in the room, and I'm not even going to open my eyes, how many in the room know that you know that you know that you've let the burden for the loss slip? And this is between you and God, but if it's you, just raise your hand to the Lord. Say, Lord, that's me. That's me this morning. That's me. Forgive me. Forgive me, God. I've been more concerned about me and what you're doing for me than I am your mission or your commission, God. Forgive me. Change me, Lord. Help me to not go out of here the same way, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, let your repentance fall upon us. It's your goodness that leads us to it, God. Lead us to change, God, today. We need your help. Lord, everybody that's raising their hand, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to touch them. Touch them, reach them, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you've never made your life right with God, you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you might have been in church your whole life, you might have done a lot of religious things, but you've not really given Jesus complete control of your life. He is the Messiah, but is He your Messiah? If you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I cannot promise you tomorrow. You don't want to put off giving your life to Christ, because He's got a plan for you. He wants to remove every bit of sin from your heart and your life. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'd like you to raise your hand right now so I can pray with you. So I can pray with you. So I can pray with you. Now watch this. There's not a hand up. Shame on us. I don't mean that in condemnation way, but a realization way. It's, Lord, help me to be bold to start inviting people into your presence so you can deal with them. Come on. Let's start inviting people to church. Not so we can fill up the building, so we can fill up the kingdom. Glory to God. If you're here and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you know today, I want to make a new dedication to live my life out for Him no matter the cost and no matter what costs me. I'm going to deal with myself where He's concerned. I'm going to live for Him right now in Jesus' name. If that's you, raise your hand. Come on. Anybody, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Come on. If just be bold. If you know you should and you're not, get it up there. Get it up there. Make the commitment to God, because He's seeing it. I feel His anointing all over this right now. Come on, I'm all in for Jesus. I'm all in for Jesus. No matter what happens, whether I live, die, whether I have or I have not, whether people leave me or not, I'm going to be all in for Jesus right now in Jesus' name. If that's you, raise your hand. Come on. I see Him. I see Him. I see Him. But it's not important that I see Him. God sees your commitment today. And I believe with all of my heart that He is going to change and do something deep inside of you today. You're not going to be able to shake what you're doing right now. Father, we thank You for it. We thank You for it. No matter our condition, well, sick, Lord, we're going to be used by You, God, to preach Your gospel. And Lord, we thank You for it today in Jesus' name. I thank You for it. We all have things we do in life, but Lord, our most important mission is to be Your ambassador. I ask You, God, to touch these people. And with these people and everybody, let's just say this, Father, in Jesus' name. my life is yours. I give you my life. From this day forward, God, I ask you for opportunities to share the good news. God, today, put people in my path that I can introduce to you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for stirring up the gifts that are inside of me so that the kingdom can be advanced. And we'll give you all the glory, all the honor for all that you do with us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If I could have the word.